But I want to start out by talking about the mindset piece of this. A lot of people come to me saying that they just have no willpower around food, or, you know, I was doing so good until X. And the reason they were doing so good until X is because, yes, it's easy to eat healthy when you're using willpower when life is perfect, but life is rarely perfect and it's not perfect. It hasn't been for a while with COVID and there's a lot of stress, right? So we can't rely on willpower alone. And that's the secret that the people that are the healthiest, the people that eat healthy and are fit, will share, is that we don't rely on willpower, right? We rely on moderation and on listening to our bodies and on building a life that works for us, that makes us feel happy and fulfilled. So we're not turning to food for comfort and to boost our mood, for example. So I want you to know that it's not about willpower. And when you start to shift your mindset this way, you'll see that, you know, it's that much easier, especially when you're in stressful times like lately, to keep eating healthy when you're not relying on willpower. So what do you do instead? Before we get into that, I want to talk about a few other traps that people fall into. So one of the main things here is that it's human psychology to want what you can't have. Okay, so remember that. And that's why when we tell ourselves, I can't have carbs, I can't have sugar, I can't have chocolate, I have to eat clean, I can't have that. Just the fact of telling yourself that sets you up for a future binge on those foods, because you're telling yourself that you can't have it. It's human nature. You're going to want it more. You're going to think about it more. It's going to be very tempting. Whereas if you were to tell yourself, I am making a conscious effort to eat more fiber or have protein at every meal, and I'm going to choose foods that make me feel energized and feel good. And if I happen to crave some chocolate, I'm going to have some chocolate. And then just switch your mindset that way. You'll be amazed how big of a difference it makes. You'll have way less cravings. And we're going to dive into some other, you know, physiological reasons for cravings in a moment. But this mindset piece is going to make you crave those foods less, because you're telling yourself that you're allowed. You're giving yourself unconditional permission to eat what you want. And instead of relying on external rules like, okay, I have to follow this certain way of eating, you know, this clean eating guy where I have to eat a certain way, instead of relying on that, you're relying on your own hunger cues and on what feels good for your body. So for example, if someone were to tell me that eating healthy means not ever eating meat and only eating things like beans and lentils, well, we know those things are healthy, but I know it's not going to work for me because I know my body. If I try to eat beans and lentils all day, I'm going to be really bloated, gassy, and uncomfortable. Whereas I know that I can digest meat easier. And so sure, I may have beans and lentils once in a while, but eating meat is what works for my body. So we have to do what works for us. Hi there, I'm Holly Braddock, a registered nutritionist, science nerd, and chocoholic. You're here because you finally realized that your health matters, that you deserve health and happiness. You're ready to ditch the diet and honor your body's needs for nourishment on every level. Find out how to stop shoulding yourself and break the burnout cycle by building a sustainable lifestyle that works for you. Join me as I interview experts in the health and wellness field. We'll dive into the science of the gut-brain and mind-body connection so you can break free of your chronic health issues and experience optimal wellness, so that you have the energy and ability to do the things you love with the people you love most. I just wanted to clear something up because I realized as I was working on this podcast and finishing it up, the dichotomy or the, what's the word? Kind of sounds like hypocritical that I'm talking about, you know, conquering carb cravings yet ditching the diet mentality. So really what I'm referring to here is not relying on food to make you happy and allowing yourself to enjoy your indulgences without guilt. And the reason that we may want to, you know, tame our cravings is because if we are, you know, relying on food to boost our mood, or that's our only way that we know how to deal with stress, or when we, you know, have these indulgences, it's a binge and we're having so much carbs and sugar and treats that we feel sick after. And that's going to result in dieting behavior because we feel sick and guilty. Then that's where it becomes a problem, right? So obviously, if you're craving a nice piece of healthy bread or a bowl of pasta for dinner, that is totally normal. And that's more of a like, that sounds good. I should have that for dinner. So yes, it's kind of a craving, but I was talking about it in the context of emotional eating, stress eating, and when it becomes more of like binge-like behavior, and that becomes your only crutch to help you feel good. One other thing I wanted to clarify for this episode was the difference between following a diet that is, you know, cutting out all carbs, something like keto, where the goal is to lose weight quickly, or you're doing it because you feel insecure and you want to feel better about your body shape. That is a diet, restrictive diet, versus a diet that is meant for healing. So for example, I work with clients to heal their gut, and oftentimes we have to make sure that they're not having too much sugar and other refined carbs like white breads and things like that in order to avoid feeding the bad bacteria, right? So it's part of the healing process. And once their gut is healed, they're allowed to have a little more wiggle room. But there's a very big difference there between these really restrictive diets that are purposely for weight loss and therapeutic diets that we use when you work with a practitioner as a temporary means to heal a condition like IBS. Hey guys, I wanted to come on and talk to you about what I've been seeing with clients and people in general in the last little while. And this probably will resonate with you because a lot of us have been doing a lot of emotional eating during COVID because we're stressed, right? And we're feeling down, we're feeling anxious and overwhelmed, and food is the quickest, easiest way to make ourselves feel better. But this emotional eating has turned into now like more like disordered eating, and people are starting to panic because they've gained weight and now they're wanting to do diets. So I've had people coming to me saying things like, oh, I've been eating way too many carbs. I need to get back on track. Or I'm all or nothing with sugar. You know, I can avoid it for about a month, but then once I start, I binge. Or I was doing so good until X happened, whether it's like I got laid off or something major happened and stressful, and then they went on this food binge. Or I had half a pizza and some cake on Saturday, so Sunday was my reset day. I mostly just had veggies. So first of all, I have to say there's a lot wrong with all of these statements, and I don't even know where to start with them. But a few things that I'm going to point out today in terms of the mindset and the diet culture that's been instilled in our brains, which is pretty toxic. And then we're going to talk about why this mindset and this way of thinking about food and being harsh to your body in terms of, you know, wanting to lose weight is not productive. It's going to make your mental health worse, and it's not actually effective for losing weight if that's something that you want to do. So we're going to talk a little bit more about metabolism and how it's so much more complex, right? It's not just, you know, the extra carbs you've been eating. It's the stress that you're having. It's the lack of sleep. It's the lack of movement. There's so many other factors. There's probably inflammation. Maybe you have a thyroid problem, right? There's so many factors that are going to impact your metabolism. Okay, the other thing here, the other secret that people that are the healthiest and happiest have is that they're filling their life with things that bring them joy. They are not workaholics. So they are having boundaries around work and home life and things that bring them joy. And they're making time for the things that they love and that actually boost their mood and make them feel good. So for me, those things are singing, being creative in any number of ways with my podcast, my marketing. It's things like cuddling my pets, going for long hikes on trails, singing. I said singing already, spending time with friends. These are the things that fill my cup and make me feel good. And I know that when I do more of those and I make time for those, even though I'm super busy, I have way less cravings for comfort foods because I already feel good. I don't need that mood boost from food. So now I kind of want to shift gears a bit and talk about why we have cravings. So physiological reasons for cravings. And I'm going to quickly plug, if you want more info on how to, you know, what causes cravings and how to crush these cravings and be able to enjoy food again without going nuts with your cravings, I do have a free ebook. So the link is in the show notes, and it's going to give you lots of insight into why you're getting cravings all the time and what to do about it. So let's start off by talking about sleep. One of the biggest things is if you're sleep deprived, you're going to be craving carbs, sugar, comfort foods, because your body sees these foods as energy and as a mood boost, right? So what happens when you don't sleep well? You're tired and you're grumpy. What's the quickest, easiest way to give yourself energy and a mood boost? Carbs, right? So your body will naturally crave those in an effort to wake you up and give you energy and make you feel good. Whereas if you were to invest in setting some time aside in the evening to allow yourself to wind down, have a regular bedtime routine, turning off screens before bed, making sure you get to bed before 12 o'clock, and making sure that you get at least 7 to 8 hours sleep, and avoiding things like alcohol as well. These are all ways that you can optimize your sleep so that you have less cravings the next day. The second thing I want to touch on is imbalanced blood sugar. And this one is huge. People have no idea how much their blood sugar impacts their mood, their focus, their energy, and their cravings. So if you're someone who, you know, either skips lunch or eats a lunch that's just heavy in carbs and not a lot of protein, or you're just snacking all day on junk food and you haven't had a real meal, and you get that afternoon crash, odds are that coffee is not going to help you because your blood sugar has crashed, okay? You have to understand that you need to eat regular meals and you need to eat protein, fat, and fiber together to keep your blood sugar steady throughout the day. But as soon as you eat something like, you know, I don't know, say you have a bagel for lunch, your blood sugar skyrockets and then crashes shortly after. And now you're hangry, you're shaky, you're moody, you're tired. Your blood sugar is low and your body's saying, I have to get this sugar back up to a normal level very quickly because I can't function at this level. And that's where the cravings come in. And also you're tired, right? So it's mid-afternoon, you're tired, you probably didn't sleep well, your blood sugar's crashing, you're craving those carbs to give you that energy boost and to get your blood sugar back up to a safe level. So instead, we can prevent those episodes by having balanced snacks, including protein, and balanced lunches in order to keep your blood sugar steady. Two more things I want to mention here in terms of root causes of cravings. Number one is your gut microbes. So especially if you have any of these risk factors, your gut microbes are going to be causing your cravings, at least in part. So if you have any of these risk factors, including use of antacids, use of antibiotics, if you eat a diet that's already really high in carbs and sugar, if you're chronically constipated, if you have had a bout of food poisoning or traveler's diarrhea, these are all situations in which your gut microbes are imbalanced. And especially if you've had this constipation and you've been eating a lot of carbs and sugar for a long time, odds are that you have an overgrowth of bacteria that's going to be signaling your brain to tell you to eat more carbs and sugar. I'm not going to get into how exactly that works, but there is research to prove that. And the really interesting thing is, both with myself and with clients, I have seen a dramatic shift. So when we started a gut healing protocol, and the first stage is killing off these bacteria that cause the cravings, as soon as we start killing them, within 1 to 2 weeks, their cravings are virtually gone. And that's because we're getting rid of the bacteria that is sending signals to their brain to have cravings. Pretty crazy stuff, but it does happen. So especially if you have some of these risk factors and or chronic digestive issues, do book a session with me to work on balancing out your gut microbiome, and that will get rid of your cravings. The other thing I want to touch on now is mental health. So obviously we touched on earlier in this episode how having low mood makes you want to reach for carbs and sugar, right? Because it's that quick mood boost. It's going to be boosting one of those feel-good brain chemicals called serotonin. And when we have low mood, especially with things like depression and anxiety, serotonin is low. So our body is naturally going to crave those foods that are going to boost our mood and give us that quick boost and feel good. But that's not the effective long-term way to do that. And in turn, eating a lot of carbs and sugar, like we just talked about with the gut microbes, we know that your gut microbes also directly impact your mental health. So if you're feeding the wrong bacteria and that bacteria is causing inflammation, that inflammation circulates throughout your whole body, including your brain, and is now going to cause or worsen your mental health problem. Okay, so I want you to realize that by having imbalanced gut bacteria, it's contributing to your mental health problems. By having mental health concerns, that's going to make you reach for carbs and have cravings. But there's a lot we can do. So obviously, if you're really struggling with your mental health, I want you to reach out and get counseling or speak to your doctor about medications and whether that's right for you. But know that especially if the root cause of your mental health concerns is your gut, there is a lot we can do to balance your microbiome and support your body's production of your happy hormones like serotonin and dopamine. And I've had huge success with clients in boosting their feel-good hormones and boosting their mental health. Now, the final aspect here that I want to touch on real quick before we go back to this mindset aspect about, you know, dieting and diet culture is burnout. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now with COVID. We're all struggling with mental health. We're all burnt out. When you're burnt out, I'm going to have to explain, first of all, what exactly burnout is. So your adrenal glands sit on top of your kidneys and they produce things like stress hormones, including cortisol and others. And we need that cortisol to function. So we need a certain amount in a certain daily rhythm to function. But when you're chronically stressed for a long period of time, your body is demanding that your adrenals pump out more and more and more stress hormones to keep up with the situation of stress, right? And eventually it can't keep up. And when you get to this end stage burnout, this adrenal depletion, that can result in major, major cravings. So earlier in adrenal fatigue, when you're more wired and edgy and irritable, you're going to have carb cravings probably to help, you know, help yourself feel good and kind of relax. Whereas an end stage adrenal depletion, you're so depleted, you're feeling depressed, you're exhausted, you're getting infections, getting sick all the time, that you're craving carbs at that point and craving sugary treats and carbs to boost your mood and your energy, right? So at that point, what we have to do is take a deeper look at why you're burnt out and work on supporting your adrenals with adaptogen herbs, lifestyle changes, and diet. And often that does include eating healthy carbs. So a lot of people that have burnout, and we'll talk about this shortly about, you know, limiting carbs and thinking that that's the healthy thing to do. This is why it's so individual, right? Because if you're someone with burnout, especially if you're someone who works out and you're pushing yourself, and you're thinking that you need to be on a low carb diet because you're trying to lose weight, you're not going to ever recover. You're not going to ever get your energy back or feel good mentally again, because you're pushing your body beyond its means and you're not fueling it with what it needs to recover. And you need carbs to recover from adrenal fatigue or burnout, whatever you want to call it. Now, I want to circle back and talk more about the mindset piece. So why should we make peace with food? Why should we, you know, reject diet culture and really start tuning into our body's needs? So number one, you have enough to worry about as it is, right? You don't need to be obsessing over calories or points or which foods are good or bad and beating yourself up over it. that takes a lot of mental energy and time away from your day. You have enough to worry about. You have enough things on your plate. Why would you do that to yourself? Secondly, if you have a weight loss goal, I totally respect that. But in order to lose weight in a healthy, sustainable way that doesn't cause side effects, you need to work with a professional, especially if you're someone who has been struggling for a while and you're feeling stuck. Because like I said, there's so many other pieces to the puzzle. It's not just calories, so food and exercise. While they are important, if you have a thyroid condition, if you've got imbalanced blood sugar, if you're burnt out, if you have imbalanced gut bacteria, these are all things that are going to contribute to your metabolism, right? So just doing diet and exercise is not going to be enough for a lot of people. And so, yeah, when you take a look at yourself and you say, you know, people come to me and say, oh my God, I gained 10 pounds over COVID because I've just been eating too many carbs. Like it's just, I'm having too many carbs, way more than I used to have. And that's why I gained weight. Think about that. Is it really why though? There's so many other factors at play. If you think about this whole past year, your stress levels, lack of sleep, inflammation from eating crappy food while you're binge watching TV, and lack of exercise when we're trapped in our houses in the winter. These are all things that are going to slow down your metabolism. It's not just the food you're eating. Okay, so I want you to understand that foods have a role in our body and food is fuel. We have to stop looking at it as a way to attain the body that we want or a way to, you know, how our self-worth is defined. So someone who is like low carb, for example, or keto, that's their identity, right? Oh, I'm keto, I'm low carb, like this is me. Your identity is not what you eat. Your identity is who you are as a person. And when you attach too much of your identity to the way you eat, that is very risky for your mental health and self-esteem, because life happens and stress happens and COVID happened and we're going to change our eating styles, right? And then that's going to have a big impact on your sense of self and self-worth, because people are coming to me saying, you know, oh, I was when I'm really good, I eat this way. And when I'm bad, I eat this way. So you're telling yourself you are a good or a bad person based on the way you've been eating. Think about that for a minute. That's pretty messed up. So only when you're feeling, you know, only when you're eating super clean can you feel good about yourself. How is that going to affect your mental health and your ability to show up at your job and with your family and loved ones if you're constantly beating yourself up every time you don't eat clean? Okay, because you're only human. Life happens, stress happens, celebrations happen. If it's someone's birthday, you want to have a piece of cake, have a piece of cake. You shouldn't have to beat yourself up for that. So the main thing I want to hammer home here is that when you give yourself permission to eat and tune into your body, you'll find that you naturally crave healthier foods, because you'll notice that when you eat those healthy foods, you feel more energized, more focused, you have less pain, you just feel better, right? And when there is times when, you know, a celebration happens and it's your birthday or someone's birthday and you want to have cake and ditch the guilt, because you know now that that cake, that one piece of cake is not going to make you gain 5 pounds overnight, even though some people think that's the truth. If you feel like you gained weight the next day, that is obviously bloating or constipation. It is impossible to gain weight overnight from one piece of cake, for example. I just want to talk briefly a bit more about using food as fuel, because that's what it is. Obviously, food deserves to be enjoyed, but food is fuel for our bodies. And especially if you're someone who is working out, whether that's because you just enjoy working out or because you have a weight loss goal, you have to be fueling your workouts in order to not feel like crap, first of all, but also in order to build muscle and actually progress with your training or your weight goals, right? Because in order to boost our metabolism, we want to build muscle mass. So we're doing exercises that build muscle mass. But if you don't replenish your body with carbs and protein after your workout, you're not going to build muscle. You're going to actually lose muscle, right? Because your body's going to be eating your muscle for energy when you're not fueling yourself. Now, I'm no expert in sports nutrition, so I'm not going to dive too deeply into this, but I want to make people aware that if you're someone who is either like training for, you know, an intense marathon or something, or if you're someone who's just starting out and you're thinking that you can start running 5 or 10K or doing a CrossFit class without eating carbs, you've got another thing coming, right? You're going to feel like crap because your body needs carbs for workouts, for energy, and for fuel. And the other thing I want to touch on here is that exercise should not be punishment. So if you, you know, say on the weekend you had pizza and ice cream, you shouldn't be telling yourself, okay, I did this, so now I have to exercise for at least an hour on Monday in order to burn off those calories. That's not how it works. And that is a really unhealthy way of looking at exercise. Exercise should be a celebration of what your body can do. It should be something that's enjoyable for you. So if you're dreading workouts and you're using it as a way to burn off the calories you ate, you need to find something else that you actually enjoy doing. And the other thing I want to touch on too is not just looking at calories as calories. So there was this movement a while back, I don't know if it's still going, called If It Fits Your Macros. And that stuff like that really upsets me because it's basically saying that as long as it fits, you know, as long as your food choices fit within these certain number of grams of carbs, fat, or protein per day, then you can eat whatever you want. So for example, if you have 100 grams of carbs, you could eat 100 grams of carbs worth of donuts, and then you'd be fine. So there's a huge problem with that, right? Because 100 grams of carbs of donuts is not going to fuel you and give you the nutrients and vitamins and things your body needs to function like 100 grams of carbs of like fruit and oats and things like that, right? Because we're getting so much more fiber and nutrient dense, like vitamins and minerals and all those things in the fruit and the oats versus the donuts, right? So we can't just think of things in terms of macros. We have to be looking at their nutrient value. And I think part of the reason behind this movement is that A, people want to enjoy food, which you should be doing anyways, but B, they're trying to make it simple for people and be like, I think all of these weight loss gimmicks and programs like Weight Watchers are just trying to make it simple for people. But instead, what you need to do is educate yourself on what you're eating. So if you find it, you know, too confusing or you don't understand how to choose a healthy carb from an unhealthy carb, shoot me a question, shoot me an email, respond to this episode. Like, I'm always here to answer your questions. And I do have a Facebook group that I would love for you to join me in because we're always talking about these kind of things in there. And I really, really want to educate you to understand what nutrients you're getting from your food and how that impacts your body. We can't take the easy way out when it comes to nutrition. If you want to, you know, be free of things like brain fog and aches and pains, and you want to have energy, you need to understand what your food is doing for you, how it's fueling your body, how it's, you know, reducing inflammation and preventing disease. If you don't understand these things about the food you're eating, it's that much harder to make healthy choices, right? So the more you know, the more educated you are about what you're putting in your body, the better choices you're going to make and the better you're going to feel. So I hope this episode has given you some insight. I know with all that's going on right now, you know, you probably have a lot on your plate and maybe your plate is very different from mine, especially if you are a mom with young kids, for example, or, you know, everyone's working from home and the kids are doing homeschooling. I definitely feel for you, but there's always small things you can do in your day to make yourself feel better and ways that you can structure your day and structure your meals and snacks to prevent yourself from getting to a place where you're craving those indulgent foods, right? And the thing that anyone can do, because it doesn't take any time at all, is practicing shifting your mindset. So every time you catch yourself having a self-defeating thought like, oh my God, why did I eat that? I was being so good. Now I'm off track again and I'm going to gain weight. I shouldn't have done that, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? I want you to catch yourself and replace that with some self-compassion. Like, wow, I had a really hard work day. I needed the treat, obviously, because I was feeling stressed and down and frustrated, and that was my way of boosting my mood. Maybe tomorrow, if I have another bad work day, I'm going to go for a walk instead. So planning ahead too, right? And thinking about what can you do differently next time you feel that same way. So I have a challenge for you. I want you to break out your journal and think about the last time you had an indulgence, maybe something you felt particularly guilty about. I want you to write down how you felt emotionally before the indulgence. So what triggered that eating episode, during the indulgence, and after you were done. And then I want you to brainstorm some things you love about yourself, as well as some replacement thoughts that you can use next time you have an episode, whether it's binging or it's just having a small treat and you feel guilty. I want you to have these replacement thoughts ready so that you can quickly shift your mindset from guilt to self-compassion. So for example, telling yourself, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. Now I'm going to gain some weight. You can tell yourself, wow, I had a really hard week and that dessert was really delicious and I feel really satisfied and I don't regret it at all. And then the other thing I want to touch on here is that healthy habits are what keep you making healthy choices. So the people that eat the healthiest, people like myself, the reason that we make these healthy choices and we're able to quote unquote stay on track, which I don't even like that saying, it's just a way of life for us to eat healthy. It's because we have these daily healthy habits that make us feel good physically and emotionally. So we're not reaching for food, for comfort, and for a mood boost, right? I'm doing things like working on my mental health. If I'm feeling down, I'm connecting with loved ones. I'm booking a counseling session, I'm booking a massage, I'm giving myself a foot rub and, you know, putting on some lavender essential oil while I read my favorite book before bed. It's doing these little things that help you feel good and listening to your body, right? So on the days that I'm plugging away at something on my computer and my shoulders are getting sore and I feel like I'm getting a headache, I say to myself, okay, clearly my body's telling me I need a break. I get up and I go for a walk. Especially on the days it's sunny, I make going outside a priority because I know it's going to boost my mood, improve my focus, and help me sleep better. I also make it a priority to give myself several hours of wind down time in the evening and get a deep quality sleep because I know that if I don't, the next day I'm going to want nothing but chocolate and baked goods. So these are these simple daily habits that keep me feeling good physically and mentally and that allow me to choose my food from a place of what is going to make me feel good physically. So I make healthier choices naturally and I want to eat these healthy foods because I already feel good, right? I know that life has been crazy stressful. And on top of that, if you're also dealing with chronic gut issues and you feel like you've been trying, you know, a low FODMAP or a paleo diet, or you're trying to cut out your trigger foods, maybe you've already tried some supplements from the health food store, but you just feel stuck and you're sick of feeling bloated and uncomfortable. And, you know, you can't even focus at work because your gut is bothering you so much. And on top of that, it's probably also affecting your intimate, you know, sex life with your partner. You're probably wasting a ton of time, money, and energy trying to figure out what is wrong with your gut. And your doctor probably isn't being very helpful. They've probably run a few tests and told you that everything is fine. Maybe you've even seen a specialist and they told you you're fine, or that it's just IBS and you have to live with it. I'm here to tell you that's not true. No matter what's going on with your gut, there is a root cause and we can heal it. So I want you to know that I'm here to help you. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to reach out. But I do want to let you know that By doing a specific protocol that's personalized to your needs, we can balance out your microbiome, support your digestive juices and boost your digestive power, and get rid of things like gas and bloating and constipation, diarrhea. Like, you don't have to live with any of that. I have a promo on. It's only $99 for your first session with me. So it's a 60-minute session where we go over your whole health history, your current health problems, everything that's bothering you in detail so that I can build a science-based, specific gut healing protocol in order to help you feel better faster so you can stop wasting time, money, and energy and finally move the needle on your gut health. I have very limited slots left, so I want you to be able to get in and start feeling better so that you can beat the bloat and be confident and feel good in your summer clothes. Here's some food for thought for you. I want you to think, when you have a snap judgment about food or a rule about food, where did that come from? Was it from a reliable source like a practitioner? Or is it something you picked up from diet culture? So some diet culture post on Instagram or, you know, Weight Watchers or something that is trying to brainwash you with fake health information. And the problem is it can be really hard to distinguish between what's, you know, fake health information and what's legitimate. And so things, for example, like saying all carbs are bad. So you have to avoid carbs. Carbs are going to cause inflammation. They're going to make you fat. They're going to cause disease. A blanket statement like that is obviously going to be false information, because anything that tells you that you have to completely remove a whole food group because it's toxic and not good for you, you have to see that as a red flag. See that for what it is. That is diet culture. And they're trying to brainwash you into thinking that you should be following their diet and buying their diet products, right? And the thing is, anything that makes it so simple that it's like a generalized across the board rule like that, like all carbs are bad, a broad sweeping statement, that's a red flag. Okay. So I want you to be aware of that, because when you start learning about food and nutrition and how foods fuel your body, you'll understand the difference between a processed carb that is a less healthy choice, something like a donut or like white bread. Sure, that's not great for you, but it's not the end of the world. But that difference between that and a healthier carb choice, which is a whole food, so it's not been processed, it's high in fiber, it has other nutrients in it, something like brown rice or quinoa or oats. We know those are healthy choices because they have things like fiber that our body needs, especially that our gut microbes need to keep us healthy, right? And there's actually stats that show that people that get fiber from grains versus fiber from different sources like fruits and vegetables, it has a very different impact on your gut health. And we actually need those fibers from things like grains and carbs. Okay. So just having that broad sweeping statement is too generalizing. It's too vague, and it doesn't account for all of the other factors that go into what makes a healthy choice for our body. And I get it. You know, we all want to make things simple for ourselves. We want to simplify, you know, how do I eat healthy without having to learn all the things about nutrition? I get it. But that's why I'm here. That's why you book an appointment with me to ask your questions. That's why you join me in my group to ask your questions and just continuously educate yourself. Sign up for, you know, free downloads and things that you can gradually learn about different foods and how they fuel your body and what they do to your body, so that you know, when next time someone tells you that all carbs are bad, you can say, hey, that's not true, actually. I learned recently that the fiber from certain, you know, whole grain carbs are actually really important for our gut health and for energy, right? So you need to inform yourself and really educate yourself on these things, so that when you come across these statements and these rules and these extreme things in diet culture that are telling you that, you know, this whole food group is bad and you should avoid it at all costs, you're going to see that for what it is. And it's total propaganda, and they're trying to get you to buy into their way of dieting and their lifestyle and likely their products that they want to sell you. And you can call it and not get sucked in. And on top of that, it's going to be better for your mental health. So knowing the difference between, you know, I can still have carbs and I can make, you know, for example, I can make my own homemade oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. And that's going to be a fairly healthy choice compared to buying a chocolate chip cookie from the grocery store. Excuse me. Right? So because you know what's going into it, you understand that there's fiber in there that's good for you and there's other nutrients. Or like a muffin, for example, you're making a Morning Glory muffin that has zucchini and apple in it and oats and maybe some hemp seeds. And you understand that while yes, it's a muffin, we can't categorize all muffins as bad, right? The muffins at the store are probably not a great choice because they're probably really high in sugar and have no fiber, but you know that that muffin you made has a ton of fiber in it and nutrients and vitamins that are going to benefit your body. So getting back to a bit about, you know, mental health and body image and self-esteem, I want you to know that the diet culture industry thrives and makes billions of dollars by making you feel less than. They make you feel like you're not eating clean enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not, you know, making this fancy zucchini noodle pasta, so that's whatever you're eating is toxic compared to that, right? They're making you feel less than, and they're preying on that because now you feel bad about yourself. Okay, tell me, how do I feel good about myself? Tell me what program to follow. Oh, if I follow this program, I'm gonna feel confident and feel sexy and feel good about my healthy choices because clearly they're the expert, right? So realize that they're making money and it's a business. Like the diet industry is making billions of dollars off preying off your insecurities. They're making you feel less than by telling you that what you're currently doing is not working and that you're not good enough the way you are in the body that you're in. So we have to see this for what it is and stand up and tell them, you know, screw you. I am fine just the way I am in the body that I'm in. And if you want to change your body, that's your choice. But you don't have to subscribe to a culture that makes you feel less than and purchase their special products in order to feel good about yourself. So that's what I'm trying to hammer home, is that your self-esteem and your food choices should not affect your self-esteem, and your self-esteem should not be affected by your food choices or what, you know, a diet industry or someone you're following is telling you that what you're eating is not good enough, it's not clean enough. Okay, let's talk about mindful eating. So one of the reasons that, you know, after a meal, you might feel unsatisfied and you might find yourself reaching for a sweet treat or something more, right? You just feel like I need something more. I want you to take a critical look at how you're eating, what you're eating, and where your head is when you're eating. Because if you are, for example, eating lunch at your desk, so you're working from home, you're eating your lunch at your desk while you're working, and you're not taking a few moments to stop and actually look at, smell, taste, and savor and slow down and really appreciate every bite of that food you're eating, you're not going to feel satisfied. Your brain won't register the pleasure that you're getting from that food, and you're going to feel like you need something more after because you didn't get that pleasurable sensation from your meal, right? Think about it. Like, how can you register something fully if your attention is focused on something else? So if you're focused on your work and you're eating, you know, maybe it's a lunch that you really looked forward to, it's some leftover Thai curry or pasta or whatever your preference is, and you were really looking forward to it, but you ate it while you were working, odds are you didn't enjoy it. Your brain didn't register the full pleasure and sensations of the food, the texture and the smell and the whatever it reminds you of. It didn't register that. So now you're still feeling like you need another pleasure boost, right? You need to get satisfaction from something else. So now you're craving something more. So one of the easiest ways to not have those, you know, after meal cravings for something more is to remove all distractions when you're eating. So you need to take at least 15 minutes for your meals, especially during your workday. First of all, taking that break is going to help you focus and be more productive when you come back to your work. But also taking that break away from your work and also trying to avoid your phone if possible or any other distraction and fully focusing on your meal and all the flavors and the smells and everything, the texture and the look of it. That's going to allow you to fully appreciate the food, get lots of pleasure and satisfaction from it, and feel satisfied and like you're not craving something else.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Hey, if you have 30 seconds to spare, if you could leave me a rating and review in your podcast app, I would greatly appreciate it. It helps women just like you discover my podcast and start their own healing journey. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week.